Hello everyone. Before I came here in my home church, I was asking for their prayers. So my prayer points were basically two prayer points. The first one was that they should pray for me in order that I might get the gift of tongues, and the second one that you would get the gift of understanding the tongues. I think I told you that this is my third time, I think, sharing the gospel in another language. I mean, in English. I shared it in Romanian. I share every Sunday in Hungarian, but I would do my best, and I'm really counting actually on the Holy Ghost to work in your heart and make that the word what was just read would not just only arrive at someone's ears or minds, but to arrive at everyone's heart, mine first and then yours second. There was an interesting event what happened on the 29th of September in 1958. I don't know if you ever heard about this story. The thing was, Aaron Borget and Clyde Johnson were working on the garbage detail in the infamous prison Alcatraz. So when they were working, there was a huge opportunity. Only one guard remained at that spot. So they overpowered the guards. They jumped in the water because it was on an island. They jumped in the water. They started to swim. The police and the guards took notice about this. They jumped also in a boat, so they did not need it to swim. Mm-hmm. So they caught Clyde Johnson, but Aaron Borget managed to swim himself to freedom. He managed to achieve freedom. He was free. But what kind of freedom does he achieve? 2 weeks later, his body was washed up on the shorelines of San Francisco. He was free. He tasted freedom in his mouth, in his lungs, and everywhere. But what kind of freedom does he have? The passage in chapter 6 in Romans, it's basically telling us that we are free in Christ. We are no longer under sin's dominion. Hallelujah! Isn't it a good news to know that I'm no longer under sin dominion? And verse 14 is basically summarizing the chapter before, the main thought of it. We are no longer under sin's dominion because we are no longer under the law. We are in the New Testament, and the people who come to believe in Christ, who believe in Christ, those people are being freed from sin's dominion. They are no longer under sin's dominion. They are under Christ's dominion. And you know, so many times when I'm fighting sin, I don't know how you experience it, but Satan has a very good tactic. When you fight sin, he always try to persuade you that you will never ever win your battle against, I don't know, envy. I don't know, against rage or any other sin. So the tactic is that you would believe that you are still under the sin's dominion. Sin still does have power, strength over you. It's still stronger than you. And I was so many times encouraged by this verse. So many times I needed to fight in prayer that no, I'm free, although I messed up. Yeah. I made it wrong. I left, I don't know, envy or something to come in my life. I sinned. But based on this verse, which in Greek says that you are not under sin and you will never ever be, this is an incapacity. This is something what can never happen. You are no more in that country. You have a new citizenship. And so many times I needed to fight based on this truth that, yeah, I messed up, I sinned, but I'm no longer in that country of sin. My governor, my mayor, my king is not sin. Although I've given in, but I'm free in Christ. And I needed to come again and again to the blood, to be washed again, I would say, to be washed again and again by that precious blood which has set me free in the beginning and which keeps me free through my life. And you know, this is a war what you need to fight. I want to remind you first that, dear brother, dear sister, there's a war going on in your heart. And I think John Piper told once that this war is basically a war of truths which are against each other. And the war is basically, what would you believe? Which truth are you step on? Which truth will be the base of your life? And which truth will influence your living? How you live out your faith? I want to emphasize and I want to remind you, based on this passage, that first, you are no longer under sin's dominion. You are free from sin. Whatever Satan wants tempts you, however tempts you, or whatever wants you to believe, you are no longer under sin's dominion. You are free from sin. But the question is, what kind of freedom do you have? Verse 15 says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? Okay guys, we are free, so we can keep on sinning because no problem, isn't it? We will never ever be under sin's dominion. We can do whatever we want. No, I'm not teaching heresy. I was ironically, I hope it's no. Paul's making the point that we are free, but we have a typical freedom. We have such a kind of freedom which never leaves us in a position where we can say, okay, I can sin. It's not a big one. I can live however I like. Paul was attacked so many times during his ministry by others that others were telling that Paul is basically teaching that you can sin because there's grace. You are free from sin. Then you can go on whatever to do whatever you want. And Paul is saying, no. You misunderstood the type of freedom what I'm talking about. Yes, you are free from sin. But you cannot sin again. Why? Why not? Because first, sinning enslaves to sin. Sin, it's not like a puppy, you play with it. I don't know if you know the cartoon How to Train Your Dragon, and I read an article, I think on Desiring God, where this article was all about that sin is like a dragon. And so many times we think like that, this cartoon, that we can train our dragon to be for our benefit. Isn't it good if someone is so wise and he knows how to live the life? He gets away with every crime because he knows he's wise. Isn't it the benefit? Because after he gets some money, he gives it to the church. Isn't it beneficial for everyone? No. Sin is a dragon. But it's a dragon what cannot be trained. It's a dragon which kill you, which will kill you. It's a dragon which craves for our life, our joys, our energy, our families, our friends, our whole life. You cannot sin because sinning enslaves to sin. We are freed from sin, but not freed from sin to go on sinning again. Dear brother, I have a question for you. Do you play with your sin, or do you fight against your sin? Are you cuddling your sin, or do you keep a faithful war against it? I want to ask you in the name of Christ, if you are a believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you confess your faith, then confess your war roar against sin. Confess it and fight it. Don't play with sin. I've seen so many. Just one occasion came to my mind. One of the teenagers which came to our teenagers meeting, he was coming willingly, but his mother once found out that he's coming to our teenagers meeting. Instead of him going to the catechism class of the Anglican Church, but in Romania, which I would say that there are some believers there, but in basically some national church, national religion, people are really nominal. That's the sad truth. And it was a little thing that the mom doesn't want her children would go to an evangelical sect group meeting. But right now that boy is smoking, and he's, I think, in the 8th grade, so he's like 14, 15 years old. He's drinking, he's smoking, he's in all this stuff. It started little, because she doesn't want it to be ashamed in front of the village. And right now the boy is just out of control. You know, sin, it's not something what we can play with. If I would have a grenade, I don't have, and I would pull out the the pin, and I would give it to you, would you play with it? Oh, I'm still holding, no problem. It will only blow up if I let it. I will not hold it strongly. Will you play with it, or will you just, oh, give me back that pin, I would make it secure, or would you just throw it away? But you know, I'm talking about my experience. So many times I've not done like this with my sins. I was playing with it, and then I got burned because of them. And I'm constantly reminded by the scripture, and I want to remind you, don't play, don't cuddle, don't want to train your sin. Fight against your sin. And the Bible says even more harsh words, says kill your flesh, like your sins. Kill them. Kill it. So we are free, but this freedom does not allow us to sin, because sinning enslaves to sin. The second thing what I want to point out is from verse 17, where Paul says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin have become slaves of righteousness. You cannot sin, you cannot go on sinning if you believe in Christ. I'm talking to those who believe in Christ. If you are here in this evening and you don't believe in Christ, you did not repent it yet, I want to say that you have no chance against sin. I mean, no chance. The Bible says that you need to repent. If you don't repent, it's basically spiritually you are a dead person spiritually, and Christ can raise you up from the dead. And I'm also talking to you, if you're not yet a believer, that that there's still a chance for you. There's hope. I was a dead person spiritually. I was that person. I think I was 13 when I became a Christian. But you did not want it to meet me in my young years. Not because, I mean, although I was a little man, I was like a little devil. My mother told me that she had all kinds of fights with me, not physically, but I was very stubborn. I knew what I want, and I want it now. So my mother had, she had a lot of energy spent on me. But, you know, I was dead in my sins. And God needed to reach me. And He did. And He changed me. And that's a miracle. What can happen to you tonight? And if you are a believer, then there's a second thing why you cannot go on living in sin. Because because you've been freed with a purpose. Paul says we've been freed from sin to be enslaved again. Oh man, not again. We've just lost our chains from sin. Right now I want to live how I want it. And the Bible points us back again. You look, there's basically, the Bible says there's two slaveries. One which leads to death. So if you are enslaved in that slavery, you will die. The second one leads to life, to righteousness. If you are enslaved in that slavery, you will experience eternal life. And Paul is saying that our freedom has a purpose. Our freedom from sin, the purpose of our freedom from sin is to be enslaved to Christ, the righteousness. And this is emphasized by the word obedient, which means that you do not do whatever you want. You do something what someone else wants. And this someone else is Christ, who redeemed you from your sins. You know, I'm very thankful for God, to God, that He redeemed me from myself. There's a funny moment in Garfield. There's a movie, and Garfield, the cat, is saying to his owner that, "Man, I need to protect you from yourself." And you know, it's sticking in my mind. What a truth. Because so many times I need protection from myself. God redeemed us from ourselves, but not that we would go back to live for ourselves, but in order that we would be enslaved to Him. An enslavement of life. An enslavement which gives joy. I've never been enslaved like physically, and I hope I will never be. But one thing, what I can imagine, that this is not a happy thing. But I can tell you, to be obedient to Christ, it's basically the source, the only source of real joy. It does not mean that you will lose all your joys from your life. I just tell you that in Romania we don't really see too much Tesla cars. And when I arrived in the UK, I was like, Tesla, okay. And I never been in one Tesla car yet. I mean, till this afternoon. And when I sat in that car, I was like, thank God. I'm really thankful that I can experience something like this. And you know, there are in our lives so many little things which are like gifts from our Father. My Father has given me lots of gifts, my Father, like physically, but my Heavenly Father has given so much more things. It doesn't mean that if you are enslaved to Christ, you will lose your joy. It means actually that you will find your joy, the real joy. And the third thing what I want to emphasize is that you cannot go on sinning because your freedom. Because if you do keep on sinning, the wage of sin is death. You know, there's a wage. There's a wage what you can work for. So many people think, and even myself, I'm tempted so many times to think about forgiveness, grace, about a wage. But we don't say this because we are reformed men. We don't say this, but we live somehow like this. When we fall, for example, I've seen in my life, I gave into a sin, and then I say, okay, God, I won't serve you 1 month. I need to, I don't know, to be penitent for a month. I need to wipe myself a few times. I don't do this, but I'm thinking like this. Instead of accepting His forgiveness and being ashamed of what I've done, but being rejoiceful in what I've been given freely. So I know, for example, a couple, they sinned before their marriage. And this was years ago, many years ago. And even right now, when they have multiple children, they are still weeping themselves, and they cannot grow in faith because they did not accept the forgiveness for their sin. They repented it. They're ashamed of it. My question tonight is, do you want to work for your forgiveness? I want to say to you, based on this passage, the 23rd verse says, for the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you that there's only one wage. There's only one thing what you can work for, and that's not eternal life. That's death. Oh, if I need to work for my death, oh, I can do it. Very good. But we cannot work for our salvation, our forgiveness, God's love, righteousness. These are gifts. Gifts. You know, after I read this passage, I was thinking about, okay, Paul, you're a very clever man. Okay, I would like to be like you, but I have a question. You're right, I cannot go on sinning because I'm freed, and my freedom is such a freedom that I cannot go on sinning forward. But what if I do? What if I fall? I fell. What if I mess up? Because, you know, I've done so many times after I became a Christian. Yes, I know that I should not have done that or this. But what should I do now? How many in this room can say that after they become a Christian, they have never even sinned, neither in their hearts, neither in their minds, neither in their deeds? Is anyone? Please tell me your secret. No. Paul, then what about us who are mortal men and not like you? And you know, I really love how Paul comes back again to grace. And I believe that this verse is not just like randomly put here at the end of this passage. It is put here by God in order that we might remember, yes, this is how we should live, but so many times we not live like that. And remind us that there's still grace for me. There's still grace for Tomas, who kept on sinning so many times after he became a Christian. There's still forgiveness, grace for you, my brother, my sister, who you've sinned. I want to ask you, to implore you, come back to Christ. Come back to grace. Experience it again. And remember it, that this grace, it's something what you can never ever work for. It's not a wage, it's a gift. I cannot stand on this pulpit because I merited it. It's an honor and a grace that you left me on this pulpit and you accept me. You don't know me yet, but you know, even if you would have known me, I would still have had no merit, because I'm not better than anyone. I have my fights, I have my struggles, and I have my war against sin. But you know why I can stand up and not be ashamed? I can stand up because there was a beautiful grace. A grace what I still cannot understand, and I'm angry at myself that I still cannot comprehend it perfectly. I don't know if you felt this in your heart, that I'm so angry that I cannot receive it, like fully immerse myself with all my everything. But I will one day. One day I will. And you know why I say that I will one day? Not because I'm a good Christian. I say this because there's free gift. There's free grace. And there's the Redeemer, Christ Jesus, my Lord. So, dear brother in Christ and sister in Christ, remember that we are free, but our freedom is a type of freedom which enslaves us to Christ. And this freedom is freedom to be obedient to Christ. And this freedom is a freedom to experience the free gift again and again through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.